Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, you know they wanted to keep this story quiet. You know Yellowstone National Park didn't want this story to get out. But then they figure, oh no, the story's getting out. There's photos out there. Okay, let's have the Billings Gazette water it down for us. But either way, look at this headline and look at the photographs here. Here's the headline. Wolves kill, devour elk on the Gardner School football field. I mean, look at this. Look at this. We know that wolves have been destroying elk and especially causing depredation among the northern Yellowstone elk herd for some time now, right? But now they're able to be so brazen about it, and the wolf population is so out of control. They're doing it right on your kid's football field. Totally gutted this thing clean. You can just see the whole rib cage there, fully exposed. Let's see. Here you go. The article posted at 406 MT Sports. A wolf killed cow elk carcass was hauled off the Gardner Public Schools football field on April 12th. Just one of the unusual incidents that comes with having Yellowstone National Park as a neighbor. Yeah, just a total normal occurrence now here. We're so used to wolves destroying elk that now when they do it right out in the open on a high school football field, they want you to think it's really not that big of a deal. Really not that big of a deal. You know, it was interesting. I was talking with some friends down in that neck of the woods, and they've kind of made the point that, you know, in the last few years, we've started to see the occasional habituated wolf in town, which is not cool either, right? But they usually get killed pretty fast when hunting season starts. This was a different ballgame altogether. This was a full pack, active hunting on school grounds. But I sent out this tweet earlier this morning. Some of you may have seen it. I know most of you aren't on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it here. But to me, the wolves devouring the elk on the high school football field is so symbolic of everything that is happening in this country right now. They're doing it right in front of you. They're mocking you. They're doing it right in your face, laughing at you as they do it. The illegal aliens that beat up cops in New York City and then flip you the bird after they get caught on camera. The pro-Hamas terrorist protesters occupying college campuses. And then United States senators voting to completely absolve the Homeland Security Secretary for his role in an all-out invasion taking place on our southern border right now. They're mocking you. They're doing it in your face. And for the most part, they've gotten away with it so far, haven't they? All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, if you got something you want to talk about. And then a nice surprise guest later in the hour, Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hegeman wants to sound off.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, to me, this story about the wolves devouring an elk right on the high school football field in Gardner, Montana. It is. It's so symbolic of what we are seeing in this country is that we are seeing the destruction right in front of our very own eyes. And these predators, whether they be illegal aliens, rapists, murderers, they get put back out onto the streets or get allowed right back into this country, they know that they can just get away with it right now. They can devour anything in their path right now. And in New York City, they'll get put right back out on the streets. We've seen this time and time again here. That story also combined with something that Victor Davis Hanson said last night Victor Davis Hanson is this incredible military historian and also a world historian. Something he said last night, I think, also put this into more perspective for me here. First off, before I talk any further, I want you to know we've got the phone lines open for you right now. If you want to jump in on the conversation or you got something you want to talk about, we've got Open Lines Friday here in the first half of Montana Talks here today. And then Congresswoman Harriet Hageman out of Wyoming, she's the one who kicked Liz Cheney to the curb. She wants to sound off to you, to Montana. She's going to be with us starting around 9:40. But something Victor Davis Hanson said last night really stuck with me. And I think this wolf story is symbolic of it as well here. So in Chicago right now, the mayor of Chicago wants to spend, I forget how many more tens of millions of dollars. He wants to take the people of Chicago's taxpayer funds and give their money and give your money to illegal aliens in Chicago. And the black voters in Chicago are ticked. They are fuming over this. Let me play just a quick little sample of a Fox News radio report that I heard earlier this morning.
And here they are warning the mayor and city council about transferring another $70 million from the city's rainy day fund to take care of the migrants.
We need that money in my neighborhood. We need that on my block.
Currently, state law does not allow voters to recall Chicago's mayor, but a new group wants to change that by getting a referendum on the ballot this November that would pave the way to voting Johnson out.
What did they say there? Another 70 million? Did I hear that number right, or was it a different number? Because I meant to take note of it this time, listening to it. That's how much more they want to give to illegal aliens. But now, keep that in mind. This was the story that Sean Hannity and Victor Davis Hanson were discussing last night. Listen to what Victor Davis Hanson has to say, especially when it comes to Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama.
Well, I think what we're watching is a historic change, really, in the political parties. This issue of an open border is an elite issue. The elites want it. They think they want 10 million constituents or bodies, basically, for big government and changing congressional districts. But the people don't want it, and they're trying to force it down their throat, just like the transgender issue, just like the climate change, just like the no bail. And the people who suffer are their supposed constituents. For every person that comes across that border, they're going to lose, if it's 10 million, they're going to lose 15 million voters. And they're not aware of it. They think they have a hold on it. But what's happening, Sean, is that those people in that room that are yelling at Mayor Johnson have more in common with people in East Palestine than they do Oprah Winfrey or Barack Obama.
All right, that was a great point right there. Those people in Chicago, everyday black voters in Chicago, have more in common with white working class people in East Palestine, Ohio, than they do with Oprah Winfrey. Look, they're trying to condition Americans to think that this is a black versus white issue, that this is a white versus Hispanic issue, or that this is a white versus Native American issue. It's not. It is not. It is an elite versus the rest of us type of an issue here. I was tempted to respond to this by saying that what we really have taking place in America is an urban versus a rural issue. Because, frankly, you know, we've got more in common here in Montana. You know, the fight against the Mexican drug cartels, the fight against inflation, the fight against high energy prices is the same in, well, actually, it's even more of a challenge in Lodge Grass, Montana. But we're in the same fight is the point I'm trying to make. Whether you're on the west end of Billings or whether you're in Lodge Grass, Montana, or whether you're in the Flathead Valley of Montana, we are all in this fight together. It's not a black versus white, white versus Hispanic, white versus Native American, but it's not even an urban versus rural challenge. It's these people in their ivory towers at MSNBC and CNN and Oprah Winfrey and Barack Obama and even these people in their university districts in Missoula, in their university districts in Bozeman, that think that they're smarter than you and that they should be calling the shots. And they don't care who you elect to serve in Helena, and they don't care who you elect to serve in Washington. They think that a handful of people wearing black robes in one room in Helena should dictate to you on everything, whether it's transgender birth certificates, men and girls locker rooms, all the above. And so Victor Davis Hanson made such a good point here that it's not a racial issue. It's not even an urban versus rural issue that's facing our country right now. It's these elitists that want to shove their agenda down our throats. And they're doing it openly. They're doing it brazenly. Like a hungry, vicious pack of wolves that devour an elk on a high school football field in a town in Montana. They'll do it right in front of you. Right in your kids' locker rooms where they're trying to push some of this stuff, right?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's just go straight to your phone calls. What do you want to talk about? You got something you want to cover? You want to react to something I said, whether you agree or disagree? Give us a call, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app. Let's go to Willie in the Paradise Valley first up. Willie, good to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Very good morning. That was a good rant you just got done with, but the reason I'm calling, too, is talking about the wolves killing the elk right out in front of everybody and how these liberals are shoving all this stuff down our throats, whether we want it or not, is Livingston, poor old Livingston, railroad town, lumber yards, all that stuff branching back in the days, and they're having, I don't know if anybody's called in this week because our radio station's been up and down, but anyway, they're having pride celebration and down at our fairgrounds with the drag shows, and they got signs up all over town. Everybody's all giddy about it that wants to be involved in that sinful act. But it's just sick to see all this stuff is coming down, and who'd ever thought our little town of Livingston, Montana, get thrown in the trash just like the rest of them here, and that's what's going on this weekend there, and it's just sickening that they're dragging these little kids into this type of activities, and these parents, I don't know where their heads are. We do know, but it's just sad what's going on here in Livingston, Montana.
Did I hear right? Tom in Billings called me earlier, and he said that they're doing a drag queen story hour targeting kids. Is that true? Are they doing targeting kids? Yeah, I know they've been doing those, but yeah, I just wanted to make sure that's what they're doing. They're planning in Livingston. It's like, why do they always want to push sex on kids? Right? It's like my friend George Blackard and I were chatting about this earlier this morning, and it's like I was like, I'm so sick of hearing. There was like some Fox News radio story that came on LGBTQ this or LGBTQ. That. It's like Who spends their entire day talking about their sex life to everybody around them? Why do we have to hear about people's sex lives all the time? I don't want to hear it. I like George. I don't hear you talking about yours. You don't hear what is this? It's like my goodness. But they want to target kids. I mean, there's been drag shows at bars going on for decades, and nobody cared, right? They're like, you do you. You're adults. Do your thing. But they want to target kids.
Well, that's the thing, and they're using our county fairgrounds. I didn't get to go to the meeting they had with the commissioners because people were upset about, our county commissioners letting them use our county fairgrounds down there. And then the city commissioners, and I don't know if they got it too, but they were going to have a pride week and want everybody to support them and that. Well, having the rodeo week's one thing. Everybody likes the rodeo, but not everybody wants to participate in this kind of filth that they're promoting to these kids. And probably the other thing, too, if they wanted to use the fairground, they should have put them down in the pig barn down there, and they could have been doing what they wanted to do down there, but leave the kids out of it. It's just sickening what's going on.
Willie, you said you liked my little rant that I did in the previous segment. I'm just interested. What stood out to you? What did you like? Because I'm just
yapping.
How
they're just flaunting like this pack of wolves out in the Gardner football field to devour that, and these people think that they're not going to hurt the kids or something if they had a chance, or anybody else around there. A pack of wolves, if you tried up there or something, you'd be mincemeat too. But the whole thing is they're doing it right out in front of us. And just like you said, those guys that got caught punching cops and whatnot and giving them the finger and stuff like that. They're just right now, we're not supposed to say anything, but we're supposed to go along with what all this filth that they're pushing down our throats
yeah.
right now.
And then you got, and then you have
it out real good.
And then you have liberal media outlets that try to water it down. And oh well, this is just what happens when you live yeah. close to a national park. No, this isn't what has happened. Like, this is actually pretty crazy. So why are you trying to water it down? Yeah, Willie, thanks for the phone call. The other point that I wanted to make during that rant, and maybe it came through, I don't know, but maybe I wanted to just outright say it, is like I've been so fortunate to travel to different places and to live in different places. You know, when I was at Howard University in D.C., for example, when I, you know, as one of six white guys in the undergrad at the time, when I would walk to my dorm, I was the only white guy in my dorm my freshman year of college, and I would walk through Section 8 housing and through the neighborhood. It's become a little more gentrified now, as I understand it, from the days when I was there. But man, just got to meet some of the best people. We'd stop and talk with some of the neighbors along the walk, you know, because I kind of stood out a little bit, so people would want to talk to you. And so I met just some of the best people. And so I just think the fact that Victor Davis Hanson is reminding us that this vibe shift that's happening in America right now, this breakup of old school political norms that I think we're going to see and that we're seeing, it's a reminder that it's not white versus black, it's not white versus Hispanic, it's not white versus Native American, it's those elites versus the rest of us. And they're trying to dictate to the rest of us, and they're just shoving these open borders and everything right down our throats. Paul in Potomac, listening to KMPT. Good to hear from you, Paul. Paul, are you there? Might have been a little bit too long of a wait for Paul. Oh, no, he's on line 3, so I apologize. Okay, I see Travis sent me an updated note. Paul, go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yes, sir. Just want to know I appreciate you and your program. And I wanted to make a statement on Schumer's meat puppet, John Tester, that you vote for him, you vote for Schumer. Just look at his record. And also want to call out the farmer in eastern Montana who's got a negative ad against Sheehy. And when you go to make a comment, you can't do it. So I'm calling both cowards. Bring them forward. Let them talk in public. And let's see where the truth lies.
Oh, interesting. So you were this longtime Democrat donor, the guy who donated to Bullock for president. He's the guy in the ad funded by Chuck Schumer attacking Tim Sheehy because to market his beef and to market their ranch, they sell coffee cups and hoodies, sweatshirts, and everything. So you've been trying to comment in response to that ad, and they're not letting you comment, huh?
No, they're not. They're not, and that's typical of any Tester profile, because Tester won't come on the air and talk to anybody. He won't come on down here. He won't talk to you. So at least, God bless, he was out there putting his life on the line and anything but a coward, and these guys are just total cowards in my view.
Oh, yeah. Think about it. Tim Sheehy could have just sat back. He's been very successful. He's got a great life going. Aerial firefighter. He's got a ranch. He's got a beautiful family. He's served his country. He didn't need to step up and serve again. But our country is in such dire straits right now that he's doing it. Paul, this was something. So I was chatting with Richard in Jordan earlier this morning, and Richard's comments really triggered this thought. So Richard was making the point that, man, they really will go after military veterans in particular. They will attack military veterans with even more vigor and more force than they would any other Republican out there. It's like they have a special hatred towards these military veteran conservative candidates. And it reminded me, like, if Mike Mansfield were alive today and running for the United States Senate, these folks on the left would bash him. They would trash Mike Mansfield. Mike Mansfield lied. He lied to enter World War I. He lied about his age so he could serve his country in World War I. Tim Sheehy took a bullet for his men and then stayed quiet about it to protect his fellow Navy SEALs. And the Democrats' response is, oh, he lied. Yeah, well, so did Mike Mansfield. Give me a break. It is so despicable to see what they are doing. And by the way, what did they do after 9/11, right?
Exactly. They're probably going to mess the quote up, but they protest too loudly, which shows their own form of cowardice. When you can't stand next to a man or a woman who served in the service and give them respect, no matter if they're in combat or not, they gave up their time, their lives to serve. And the people who never did that I've never been in the military. I've worked closely with the military over the years. But to say stuff like that, it just shows your own depth of cowardice and your own depth of fear.
Well, yeah, I think fear, you just nailed it. They are desperate right now. They are down in the polls, and they are so desperate to hold on to their power and to keep these borders open that they will say and do anything. Hey, thanks for the call, Paul. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Who do we got next up? Let's go to Ivan in Billings. Ivan, thanks for the call.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
I wanted to call in honor of the attack ads on Tim Sheehy. I got my Little Belt Cattle Company T-shirt in the mail yesterday.
That's
never
great.
Heard about it before that. But it's Black Angus Ops.
Oh,
so got the cow with
nice.
The night vision goggles.
Oh, that's a great one.
And it's a good looking shirt. And that was it. I just wanted to call in, and that was my my contribution to the Sheehy campaign in honor of John Tester.
Yeah, real ranchers don't sell T-shirts. Oh, for Pete's sake, you guys are. Oh my goodness, they're so desperate. You just got to laugh at it, don't you?
Oh yeah. But yeah, take a look at it. Black Angus Ops with the cow with the night vision goggles. It's a pretty good one.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen that one before, but I hope there's still some left to buy, because I know their website's just been getting crushed with people wanting to buy their products now, thanks to old Chucky Schumer and his buddy Joe in Seiko. We got about a minute before the break. What's going on, Joe?
Yeah, man, turn the tester. He lies and lies, and all he's doing is lying to get votes, and when he gets elected, he just lies some more and rubber stamp for Biden. He had the chance to stand up and impeach Mayorkas, and he didn't do it. All Democrats voted not to, so that son of a bitch needs to go.
All right, careful with the language. Well, actually, can that word be used according to the FCC? I've heard people use the B word before, but I don't know. Travis is usually quick on the red button anyway, just in case. All right, Joe, good to hear from you. Say hi to our friends in Seiko that pulled us out of the ditch there, too. So appreciate it. They're going to have an outdoor pool at the Sleeping Buffalo. Did you guys hear about that? Man, how exciting is that? Had that story on the Montana Talks website a little while back, so might have to hit that up this summer if we can. That'd be a good time. All right, stand by. More calls next.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Yesterday, the Bureau of Land Management released their final conservation and landscape health rule that re-images the agency's requirements to manage lands for multiple use, including livestock grazing. I'm on assignment in Washington, D.C., and Caitlin Glover, Executive Director of the Public Lands Council, shared her organization's disappointment in the announcement.
We just finished up this week our legislative conference here in Washington, D.C., and so we had ample time to talk about a lot of these cattle and sheep producers' priorities. So when the final rule dropped yesterday, this public lands rule, formerly known as the Conservation and Landscape Health Rule, we were really prepared to really dig in, have those conversations with the BLM in real time, and that's going to continue to be ongoing. There are three different parts to this rule that we evaluated when the proposed rule came out last year. We're encouraged by certain pieces. It appears that the agency has evaluated some of the feedback that we gave them, but we have some remaining concerns. And so as we look to the next couple days, we're going to be looking at this pretty voluminous text, because when you're talking about land health and land management in the West, you're talking about direct effects, not only for cattle producers and sheep producers, but rural economies, rural communities, and really that Western way of life.
The Public Lands Council says this is a move by extremists who only want to bully livestock producers off of working landscapes. I'm Lee Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, any minute now, we should be getting a phone call from Wyoming Congresswoman Harriet Hageman. So we should be getting that phone call any moment now. But let's sneak in another one of your phone calls here in the meantime. Dave in Columbia Falls, are you still there?
Yeah, hey, Aaron, thanks a lot. I want to talk about something that I follow real careful, and that's kind of the world scene on the digital dollar. And we all know that Yellen and Biden administration is pushing this digital dollar program hard. With the assistance of the administration, who's trying to bankrupt our country through wasteful spending. Now, once the government spends our money, wastes our money, and we get down that the world views our dollar as worthless, which is close at this point, what's going to happen? Well, when you look at Russia and China in the last 2 years, they've been on a huge gold buying spree. And their strategy is to get themselves world currency instead of the U.S. And I think that everything else is a distraction to us. Unless we really pay attention.
Yeah, no, that makes sense because, okay, so they're adding $1 trillion in debt every 100 days as we're, you know, around $35 trillion in debt right now. And, yeah, we've had some great conversations on that topic. And so the question is, it appears they're deliberately trying to destroy the current system so they can transform it into something else. So are they now laying the groundwork for that something else, right? Great phone call. Sorry, we're short on time. Dave, thanks for patiently waiting. Great to hear from you. Thanks for listening to KJJR. Well, let's jump right back into the phone lines here. So great to catch up with Congresswoman Harriet Hageman, now joining us from the nation's capital. Congresswoman, I've been a big fan of yours even before you took Liz Cheney out of Congress, because you've been standing up for Western interests, oil, gas, coal, agriculture, of course, first and foremost. So it's an honor to have you on the program this morning.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to visit with your listeners.
So I didn't realize this. When the impeachment articles against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas were walked over to the Senate floor the other day, you actually are one of the impeachment managers.
Yes, I was. I was appointed by Speaker Johnson just shortly after we impeached Mayorkas in the House of Representatives.
So I guess talk about what that moment was like, walking these impeachment articles over to the floor and then seeing the senators in a party line vote shirk their constitutional duty and refuse to hear the evidence and carry out the process.
Well, it was a little bit surreal. And what I mean by that is you start thinking a little bit about your life and where you've been. When I grew up on a ranch outside of a small town in Fort Laramie, and the things that I've been able to do in my life, as you say, be an advocate for our legacy industries, for oil and gas and coal and ag and agriculture. And then here I am walking through the capital of the United States, carrying articles of impeachment against someone who not only deserves to be impeached, but should have been tried and convicted in the Senate. So it was an honor to be chosen for that position. There were only 11 impeachment managers. My disappointment, however, is in the fact that the Senate refused to hear the case. And as you say, the senators, the Democrat senators, including John Tester, abdicated their responsibility, their constitutional obligation to hear the case. We were prepared to try the case in front of them and lay out the facts and the law as to why Mayorkas had committed high crimes and misdemeanors. I would throw treason in there because of the fact that he is importing our own demise. He knows that he's bringing in literally millions of people who are going to cause very serious long-term damage to this country. We've got people being murdered. We've got over 100,000 people dying of fentanyl overdoses. We've got 85,000 children that this administration has lost that are being trafficked, sex trafficked, and put into slavery in our own country. I mean, it's just, it's the parade of horribles that you just can't even imagine Mayorkas being responsible for, and yet they wouldn't even allow us to present one document or one argument, which I think demonstrates how scared they are of this information being brought to the American public.
Well, that's exactly right. And they wanted to quickly bury it, get it out of the news, never allow it to make the news to begin with, because they know that so many in the liberal media will refuse to even cover the story. Just like the earlier this week, there were media here in Montana that refused to even cover John Tester's vote to basically keep Mayorkas in power and keep our southern border completely wide open. I didn't see it myself, but Texas Senator Ted Cruz was live on Fox News the other day. He said that as you, as the impeachment managers, were just about to enter the Senate chamber, that John Tester literally ran from the chamber because he did not want to be there on camera as the impeachment articles arrived.
I was not aware of that. What happened when we arrived in the Senate chamber was that our ostensible leader, Representative Green, he read the articles of impeachment. And it took a good 20, 25 minutes because we laid out in great detail the manner in which Mayorkas has not only ignored the law, but blatantly and intentionally violated the law. And when you are a cabinet secretary, such as the head of the Department of Homeland Security, you take an oath to uphold the Constitution and protect us from enemies, both foreign and domestic. And he has done neither, and intentionally he has done neither. So it's very clear to me that he has committed impeachable offenses. I think from the standpoint of the American public, what's very disturbing and sad for me is that someone needs to be held accountable for what has happened to our country in the last 3 years with over 10 million illegals crossing that border. Someone needs to be held accountable. That's why we impeached Mayorkas. It was up to the Senate to hold the trial and convict him. They failed to do that. They violated their constitutional duties. They violated their oath of office.
And yet, John Tester will come back to Montana and take off the fancy suit and try to get people to forget the fact that he racked up $1.2 million in bills at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. And he'll come back to Montana and say, oh, no, I'm working to secure the border. Oh, for Pete's sake.
Well, he's not. He needed to vote with us then. That was kind of the test, wasn't it? That was the test. That and fighting to bring a border security bill to the floor of the Senate. If he's really worried about the border and if he's back in Montana telling people that he cares about it, why hasn't he introduced a bill in the Senate to close that border? Why hasn't he done anything to pursue actual border security rather than just be a mouthpiece about it?
Well, if you can't do the easy things, how can we expect you to do the tough things? I mean, this was the easiest thing he could have done, was simply hold Mayorkas accountable for this invasion that is taking place on our southern border. And as you pointed out, this treasonous invasion on our southern border, where we literally have murderers and rapists and drug cartel members that are targeting Native American women here in the Rocky Mountain West.
Yes, they are.
And so spare us your virtue signaling, Senator Tester and others, that you care about missing and murdered indigenous women when you are allowing the drug cartels to enter this country and target them.
So I would like your listeners to go and watch a hearing that we recently had in the Oversight Subcommittee of the Committee on Natural Resources. We brought in three tribal members, including two tribal members from Montana, to testify about the impact of the cartels that have moved in on our reservations. The two gentlemen from Montana were some of the most compelling, they're leaders of their tribes, some of the most compelling testimony that I have heard in my entire time in Congress, as they described the scourge and the violence and the epidemic of addiction and what it's doing to their young people because the cartels have moved in on their reservations. One gentleman testified that there are people on his reservation that have $2,500 a day addictions. The cartels addict these people to these horrible, horrible drugs because they can't afford them. They then enslave these people, and they have to engage in things like human trafficking, sex trafficking of minors, pornography with children, being drug runners themselves. It is modern-day slavery, and it is tied to the open border. And John Tester by doing what he's done, he is culpable. He refused to hold Mayorkas and Biden accountable for what they've done to our country, and he should be held accountable as a result.
That's right, and I think that's ultimately why he couldn't hold Mayorkas accountable, because he should be held accountable for the same invasion. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman, can you join us for a few more minutes? I got to hit a hard break here. It's our shortest break of the hour. Can you join us for the rest of the hour? Does that work for you?
Sure.
Great, because I want to talk about the BLM and the Bureau of Land Management as well, because you've been making some very important points about what the Biden administration is doing on that front. And I know we've got our Montana Stock Growers and the Public Lands Council back in Washington this week, so it's a timely conversation as well. Stand by, back right after this.
Studio. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, you just got to laugh at the Biden administration and their Interior Department. They're suing a baseball team. They're suing a minor league baseball team. There's no crying in baseball. They're suing a baseball team in Montana. I didn't get a chance to play this audio, but Congressman Ryan Zinke called out Interior Secretary Deb Haaland at a committee meeting the other day because her department is suing the Glacier Range Riders over the team's logo because they think that, that's a National Park Service logo. For Pete's sake, we've got illegal aliens committing crimes all across this country, but yet they're weaponizing the government against a baseball team. I mean, Congresswoman Hageman, I mean, here we go again, huh?
Well, it shows you that we are being governed right now by very unserious people. And it also demonstrates that they have far too much time on their hands and far too much money to spend. And it's for that reason that I actually introduced an amendment to the appropriations bills last fall to cut the BLM by 50%, cut their budget.
Yeah. Well, and the BLM right now is led by Tracy Stone Manning. She was connected to an eco-terrorism case, and she lied to federal investigators about it and was trying to cover it up, and then lied to we the people for decades, finally got exposed. And John Tester and Joe Biden still put her in charge of the BLM. Now she's given special perks to anti-ranching outfits like the APR.
Yes, and what she was doing is she was associated with an organization that used to spike trees in national forests, so that as loggers, if they were to cut them down, if they were to hit one of those spikes, it would either kill them or cause them a very serious injury. So that is our BLM is being run by an eco-terrorist.
We had a message come in on our Montana Talks app just now from Dennis in Bozeman. What solutions are there out there to prevent illegal aliens to help garner electoral votes? You know, Governor Greg Gianforte pointed out how the size of the illegal alien population that has flooded this country since Joe Biden and John Tester took power is 10 times the population of Montana. And we've got a bigger population than Wyoming. But John Tester actually voted to continue counting illegal aliens towards the Electoral College and towards congressional representation, basically taking away power from Montana and Wyoming potentially.
So it is a very significant issue. And there are two bills that I believe we absolutely have to get through this year and try to find a way to put into place. And one is to not count illegal aliens for redistricting purposes. And the other one is a federal voter ID requirement. We want to make sure that elections stay with the states, but for federal elections, there should be a voter ID requirement. I think those are two of the things that are absolutely critical in light of the invasion that we have seen, especially on our southern border. So it's over 20 times the population of Wyoming has invaded over the last 3 years. We're at about 560,000 people, and we're over 10 million illegal aliens. So it is going to have such serious long-term consequences, but one of them does relate to our ability to vote and having our vote count and actually make a difference. So again, you know, John Tester, I know what he does, because we've got people like him in Wyoming, too, that they'll talk a good game when they're in Wyoming, and they'll lament about the liberalism of Washington, D.C., and how bad it is, and that it's broken, and it's always better to be in Montana, and blah, 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 because when he comes back here, he votes in lockstep with Chuck Schumer from New York City. So you just simply cannot believe them when you have to look at their voting record, and you have to look at what they actually are doing to protect Montanans from this horrible invasion that we're having.
And unfortunately, you have to go get the information yourself or find reliable sources, because most in the so-called mainstream media will cover for these politicians and instead of covering them. Earlier in the show, and I know you certainly would have missed it being back there in Congress, but earlier in the show, I was talking about the city of Chicago, and black voters in Chicago are fuming mad at their mayor for wanting to spend another $70 million towards illegal aliens in Chicago. It used to seem like it was East versus West. You know, the big cities on the East and the left coast were going against those of us here in the West, right? Urban versus rural. But now it's not even urban versus rural anymore. It's these elites versus all the rest of us.
It is. It is. So one of the things that I point out to people, because every once in a while I get asked the question of, well, what do you do to reach across the aisle? What do you do so that things are not quite so contentious? And I understand that people want to go back to a simpler and perhaps more delicate time. Well, delicate probably isn't the right word, but maybe a time when you didn't have quite as much dissension and disagreement. But the point that I've made to them is that it used to be Republicans and Democrats. They have the same goal in mind. They might just have a different approach to how to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, the Democrats would always want to spend more money, and the Republicans would always want more individual autonomy and liberty and that sort of thing. Right now, I'm not fighting against Democrats on policy, on good policy. What I am fighting Democrats about is whether we're going to keep America, America. I am fighting against people who hate the United States of America, and they are elected officials. They don't believe that we are that great shining city on the hill. They don't believe that we do have a moral authority as compared to many countries around the world.
All right.
They truly believe that Iran has the exact same moral authority as we do.
It's crazy.
So that's
crazy.
What we're up against.
That's right. Yeah, yes. And Ilhan Omar's daughter is a perfect case in point. Congresswoman Harriet Hageman, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for your time this morning. We greatly appreciate it.